all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Nice to have you back here on a Monday morning, March 4th, 2024. Coming up this hour, there was a recent alarming report by the U.S. Marshals Service that reviewed an increase in threats targeting federal judges and prosecutors. The group Keep Our Republic is advocating for greater judicial safety in Wisconsin. We'll talk to John Vaudrey, former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, all about that. Kristen Lyerly will be back on Thursday. I think that's when Brittany Merlot will be joining us as well. Selena Heller, Greg Bach are both here. Start by telling you 7 o'clock temperatures around Wisconsin look like this. Here in Chippewa Falls, it's 31 degrees right now. Hayward's at 34. Park Falls and Wausau reporting 31 degrees. Green Bay at 36. La Crosse, 37. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 32 degrees. Oshkosh, 36. Madison, 32. And down by Greg there in Waukesha, it is 37 degrees on a sometimes sunny morning here. We're at that point now where the sun is coming up before 7 o'clock for like a few days, Selena. Then, like Greg was saying, it all just falls apart, you know, for the first week or two of daylight saving time.
He has to get used to it.
Yeah. Although I'm the one that's like, I think you ought to set the clocks ahead 1 hour, as we're going to do, and just leave them there. There's no need to go back to standard time.
Yes.
Please. We posed that question to people, and there was a lot of mixed reactions. But so I have sunset times for you. So last week, or about now, 5:48 sunset. Mm-hmm. So, and now next week, of course, it's later, 7:25, it bumps up to
7:25 sunset next week.
I can't wait.
That's April 1st. So I did the first of the months. So April 1st, 7:25, May 1st, 8 p.m., June 1st, 8:31.
8:31. That's the best.
I love it.
You gotta think of
and
that.
People, and Selena, those in your poll who thought that we shouldn't stay sprung forward and have light during the... They're just wrong.
I think a lot would actually go along with the change. I think what they're saying is they don't like the change back and forth all the time. Like pick one and stick with it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if you're going to pick one and stick with it, you know, they would say I'm against daylight savings time. No, they're against changing the clock. But if we told them set this an hour ahead, oh yeah, they'd go along with it. I think so. I mean, again, not everybody.
Well, just let's not also forget that there was a vote in the U.S. Congress to get rid of it all. And the Senate was like, yeah, let's do this. And the House was like, we got lunch. Let's.
This could be fixed. But again, it is a matter of it makes a big difference here in the northern tier of states, you know, but down in the southern tier, they don't have the variations as crazy as ours. So it's not a big priority for them. They're like, why are they complaining about that all the time up north? Well, again, we don't have 6 months of darkness like in Alaska or something, but there's still a lot of variation here and it gets a little crazy, from time to time.
Yeah.
So I could do without that. From a forecast standpoint, again, just mild temperatures. There's some rain in the air, a little light snow as well. So just be careful out there and keep your seasons in mind as we go through the day here, and Brittany will have more. And we'll have detailed forecasts throughout the rest of the day here, of course, on your favorite Civic Media radio station. Selena, we have you working on a story that you can find over at upnorthnewswi.com. And the headline is Why One Wisconsin Teen Wants Lawmakers to Prioritize Sex Ed. And it's obviously, it's a lot of teens, not just the one there, but the one that we spoke to, as well as some legislators. And I think it's important for people to know what the current status is of sex and health education in Wisconsin schools, what it used to be, and how, again, some teens and lawmakers want to go back to what it used to be compared to what it is now. Can you fill in the blanks for us?
I can. So yes, this goes back quite a long time ago, because this has been a debate. It's been in and out of our school system, sex ed, the topics. It was introduced in 2010. So we've been, and then repealed. Governor Scott Walker and legislative lawmakers repealed a sex ed act called the Healthy Youth Act. Again, it's being reintroduced right now, also called the Healthy Youth Act. And so we've been without now sex ed for a decade in Wisconsin public schools. It was required in 2010 and then repealed in 2012. So now it's being reintroduced.
Right. And for folks who've heard me talk about being in the legislature often, that was one of the votes that I took in our last year in office, my last year in office. Very happy with that vote. Again, if you're going to be teaching sex ed, make it comprehensive. What Scott Walker and Republicans did was go backwards and say, you don't have to teach it at all, but if you do, you got to teach abstinence only. And Selena, you talk to people that understand that's not really a great education strategy.
Right. They want a comprehensive sex ed education where it's science-based. It teaches about gender stereotypes, contraceptive use, not abstinence, just about so many different things, healthy relationships, how to be a good ally to others, and just kind of kids learning and just about puberty, all sorts of things that have to do with kids growing up. And so they say it's common sense legislation because everybody goes through it. And so why wouldn't you teach them about your bodies? And why wouldn't you teach them just about having healthy relationships? And if you don't have a healthy relationship, what do you do? How do you tell somebody, or how do you explore that? And how do you say, no, this is not what I want? And so it's kind of all comprehensive things like that. And this is one parent, Katie Bushman. She lives in Chippewa Falls. She's a parent of four kids in the district. She ran for school board. She is a LGBTQ advocate. She was part of a discussion. So when schools do discuss sex education in the public school system in their district, they usually have kind of community meetings and groups and input, and she was part of their group in Chippewa Falls last year to discuss this. So I talked
from Katie Bushman.
Children will do better if they have relevant information, if it's scientifically based and if it's accurate. Every child is going to go through puberty. Every child is going to go through sexual development, and to deprive them of information about that and to deprive them of relevant options and information doesn't prevent them from accessing that information. It just means that they are more likely to get it from a non-credible source. And so when we are providing comprehensive sexual education and health education for our children, we're really just arming them with the best information so that they can make informed, intelligent decisions. So I think it's really a travesty that there are so many kids out there right now who don't have access to that information and who are relying on their peers, who are relying on their own internet searches, who are relying on information that may not be accurate. It's not only problematic, it's potentially dangerous for them.
You can't do enough to teach people. Don't let your children rely just on the interwebs for mm-hmm. education. You know, instead of saying, nope, you can't learn about that. What do you think they're going
to
do?
Well, yeah. That's their option they turn to, or if it's their friends, and that's bad. And so I talked to Senator Melissa Agard, who introduced this bill, but I also talked to Naomi Jovag, and she is a sophomore at Madison East High School. And she, you know, talked about what it's like in schools and, you know, what the talk is. And she called it locker room talk. And so, you know, that's probably not a positive comment, and it wasn't. And, you know how kids talk, and she's hoping that this will kind of quell some of that and things be more friendly than in schools. So she's a sophomore from Madison East High School. Here's Naomi.
Right. You should know at this point, telling teenagers not to do something isn't going to make them not do it. And the best thing that you can do is tell them how to do it safely so they don't get hurt. And the fact that that isn't our number one priority in schools, where teens are almost all day, is baffling to me.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
Yep. Tell them not to do it, they're going to do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So obviously the bill didn't get picked up, you know, in this current session. But as we've said throughout, it's important to still highlight the ideas that are being talked about, the bills that are being introduced. And, you know, that way throughout the campaign, people can ask their incumbent or their candidate, you know, how they feel about issues like this.
Right. And Senator Agard was pretty positive with the new maps and in the legislative session that these kinds of things will be, you know, maybe more successful again and actually kind of looked at a little more seriously.
Okay. Coming up in just a little bit, Selena's going to tell us more about the a big development for American Girl, the corporation more so than the dolls, and also about a Wisconsin female tackle football team. But first, before I let you guys go, we did hear from Rob in Tigerton, who says it's partly cloudy and 29. And Rob says, you know, by the way, 29 is my favorite number because I love Highway 29, my favorite highway across north central Wisconsin. Well, yeah, because that's the definition of up north.
He said that. He said that when you were on vacation, too. I was like, that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I still think we need to read Rob's messages as dramatic, like back in 1973.
Okay, go ahead. Read his other message here from Facebook.
Back in 1973, 74, we didn't have daylight savings time because of the energy crisis when riding to school on the bus in the morning in the dark. That wasn't so much dramatic as it was like, I can do better. I'll do better.
Yeah, that's okay. We'll work on it. It's all a matter of perspective, and we need to give you more rehearsal time.
Thank you.
Let's check sports at 7:17. Then we'll have more with Selena here as well. The Milwaukee Bucks, they will be hosting the LA Clippers tonight. They are riding a 5-game winning streak since the All-Star break, and on Friday, in defeating the Chicago Bulls, they gave up fewer than 100 points for the fourth straight game. Giannis set a new team record, winning his 489th game as a Milwaukee Buck, counting the playoffs, passing Sidney Moncrief as the winningest Milwaukee Bucks player. The still-slumping Badger men's basketball team fell to 13th-ranked Illinois on Saturday. As poorly as they've played lately, though, the Badgers are still probably assured of an NCAA tournament berth. Wisconsin entered the weekend as a number 5 or 6 seed in many bracket projections that were out there. They will host Rutgers on Thursday. The 5th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team, missing 2 of their starters, fell to 12th-ranked Creighton on Saturday, but they have already locked up a first-round bye in their conference tournament, and they host UConn on Wednesday. The Badger men's hockey team split with Michigan State over the weekend, and now it's off to the conference tournament at the Kohl Center, coming up Friday night at 7, Saturday at 6, Sunday at 5, if necessary. Back with more in just a bit, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. There is a new evening lineup on the Civic Media Radio Network, Bust with Pencils, a show that bills itself as Educated Educators Talking Education. That's at 6 p.m. weeknights now. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba is now heard from 7 to 9 p.m. and then Native Roots Radio at 9. Hear the latest in Native American news related to politics, culture, and more. That's all on your Civic Media radio stations. Go to civicmedia.us for the stations, coverage maps, shows, and much more. We're talking to Selena Heller here about some of the stories she's working on for Up North News Radio. If you'd like to join us at all, again, we have a brand new phone number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or 855-752-4842. We've talked about my daughters a few times here, visiting one this weekend, talking about them listening to the Spice Girls as they were growing up. And the American Girl dolls were a relatively new thing when they were little. And they, of course, went crazy about that. Of course, one's named Samantha, and my daughter's named Samantha. They loved going to the stores. They loved reading the books. And it helped that it was, you know, this Wisconsin-based company. A little less so now, Selena.
A little less so. There's still one office in DeForest, but come spring, the Middleton office, which was the corporate office, will be closing, and then things will be moved to California. But that was kind of the big thing for Wisconsin. American Girl dolls were here. We know them to have the Wisconsin tie. We yes, here.
Which one are you holding there?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? How many do you have?
Well, we have, you know, other brands, but this is our real American Girl one. I don't know what they are. Yes, we're in the thick of doll stuff. If you could see out over here, we have a whole setup of camper and food truck and
food truck American Girl. And,
yes.
Do they have one called, you know, Karen, the corporate raider who, like, you know, closes offices and moves companies out of Wisconsin?
No, that one just comes with a cell phone and threatens to call the manager.
I think it's a shame that's the way that things go, but again, you know, corporate America is bound to have its shifts one way or another.
Yep.
Still a fine product, but that's a little
and still Wisconsin at heart.
That's right.
Yeah, yes. And Pleasant Roland, she was the founder of this, and she was a teacher and a textbook author. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to write stories of, you know, she loved history. And so that's how this got a start. And she's from Wisconsin, and she's known to be like the fourth richest self-made woman in Wisconsin.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. If she had a chance, she could have written a new one about you know, somebody called, you know, Tammy the tackling football player, because there's a new Wisconsin female tackle football team out there.
Oh gosh, yes. What is it? Midwest Mountain Lions.
The Midwest Mountain Lions. Nice.
Yes. It's actually, I think, their third season, and all-female tackle football team. They have players from Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, and they play games in Minnesota also, and Wisconsin, and South Dakota. And they have a few games in the summer, starting in May. So they're kind of it's a cool team. Like,
So where do they play their games?
Well, they practice in Kenosha. I'm guessing they play in Kenosha as well.
Okay. Yeah, Greg's very happy about this. He's got to go check things out. So that's the Midwest Mountain Lions. Is there an age limit at which they can play, or do they already have an older team called the Cougars? Oh, rimshot.
Dude.
Gosh, darn it.
All right, fine.
Thank you.
I didn't feel good about that one.
Yeah. Didn't say they're always going to be winners. They're just out there sometimes. One of the things that Selena does not have to do for us, because she's covering stories all around Wisconsin, but I was looking over the weekend. Do you know that there are places now that basically grab each month, they grab all of the Florida Man stories from the course of a month?
Florida Man.
I imagine. Uh-huh. Florida Man.
Yep. Now these are all, and I didn't click every one of them, but I clicked through enough, like, okay, these are real things here. So these are just some of the Florida stories from the month of February. Florida Man goes viral for eating raw chicken every day. Mm. 1,000-pound World War II bomb discovered at Florida airport. Alligator chases people on golf cart in a heart-stopping video. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You got to look at every one of these and go, could that be Wisconsin Man? Mm-hmm. And the fact that those first two, yeah, you could see a Wisconsin guy, you know, saying, I'm going to eat raw chicken every day. but alligator chases people on golf cart. That's Florida only. Mm-hmm. I did click on this one. Brother of bride attacks her and other guests during Florida wedding reception. I have been, again, that could be a Wisconsin wedding.
Oh, no.
I have been to Wisconsin weddings where there was tears and brawls. Drama. There weren't outright brawls because people were steered away beforehand. But yeah, you know, because again, sometimes weddings and alcohol, not a good mix, or at least receptions, shall we say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's people see, from the past coming into play.
Yes, yes. Let's see. A runaway kangaroo darts around a Florida apartment complex.
That would be fun.
We have
deer that crash through windows. I mean, it's
yes,
kind of similar.
Yes, that's cool when they come through the window of, what was that, a Chipotle not that long ago?
There's a lot.
Yet if it was an alligator going through a Waffle House, you'd be like, oh, what a bunch of idiots. Come on. We have our moments. We have to own it.
Yeah, well, when a deer does it, it's cute and fluffy, you know. Deer's not going to eat us, you know. Let's see. Snake found on a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter in Florida. We're Samuel L. Jackson when they need him. Snakes. Always the snakes.
Actually, they said that if you type in your birthday mm-hmm. and Florida man, the top.
Hold on. Yeah. This is, all right. So July 3rd, Florida man. Here we go. Let's see. Here it comes. I'm waiting for it to load. Oh, no. Here's mine. Florida man dies in explosion after attempting to microwave a microwave.
Okay. I thought.
What's yours?
Mine is. Florida. Wait, hold on. I got a naked Florida man with crossbow who claims aliens shot down by the police.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. Selena, you got one in there?
Okay, I got it. All right. Florida man arrested after whipping out samurai sword in trash dispute.
Trash? Well, that just sounds like a Thursday.
Oh, no. Why do they give us so much to deal with here? Woman discovers human jaw while shelling on a Florida beach.
Oh.
Florida woman arrested after her boyfriend finds a bleach tablet in his tea. Oh gosh. And on. We're going to be coming back. I love the game with the birth date. We're definitely doing that some more. Selena, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You
appreciate
too.
Appreciate it so much. Read what she's doing over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to a former U.S. attorney for Western Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about judicial security. We already know that we live in a rather unfortunate age when it comes to respect for the law, for election results, things like that. And there's just been this increase in violence and threats of violence. And we're going to talk about the efforts to try to, stem that tide when we come back. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tuesday by the Rolling Stones was their fourth number one hit, and it was a hit this day in 1967. Nice to have you back here on Up North News Radio, where we've talked to folks from the group Keep Our Republic previously. By and large, it's been about elections and election officials and the process, which has always been safe and secure, and yet it has been under fire more than ever. But Keep Our Republic wants people to know that the current tensions and misinformation and controversies, they extend beyond election administration. They extend to our courts as well. Ironically, we have people, including our upcoming guest here in a second, who work or have worked overseas. You might know that Trygve Olsen from the Lincoln Project is on, Todd every Wednesday, and talks a lot about his work in former Soviet bloc countries, about building up trust in the rule of law and building democracies. And it's just an unfortunate thing that right now the place that needs advocacy and protecting our democracy is right here in the United States. But we're going to talk now to John Vaudry about that. He's a former U.S. attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin and is working with Keep Our Republic to let people know about the increased threats to our judiciary and what we can do about it. John Vaudry, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Morning, Pat. Glad to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. Give folks a little bit of your own history here in Wisconsin and a little bit about what you're doing now overseas, because it does really help set the scene for what the message from Keep Our Republic is.
Yeah, I am. I'm from up north, so I'm originally from Rice Lake and Hayward area, but I spent 38 years as a federal prosecutor here in Madison. The last 7.5 years as the United States attorney appointed by President Obama. And I resigned in March of 2017. And since then, and actually from 2001, when I worked for the department, All of my projects are rule of law projects outside of the United States. And I've always seen it as part of our own national security program in terms of helping our security by helping other countries striving to live in a society governed by the rule of law, not by who you are, who you know, how much money you have. And so I go to lots and lots of places, 41 countries at last count since 2001, with lots and lots of multiple repeat trips, including the former Soviet bloc. So it helps me appreciate the process we have here and try to protect the process we have here.
And the process here is definitely worth protecting because, again, you know, democracy and respect for it is one of our greatest exports. When people hear, you know, there used to be a lot of talk, especially when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan, about nation building. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to be at the tail end of, say, a war and a government that is trying to get itself established. But frankly, there is and has always been work to be done in already existing countries. You talk about being in Vietnam and Laos and India, and there's so much you can continue to do to help people, you know, maintain the stability that they have and build on it by, again, embracing, you know, democratic with a small d, democratic values and norms. It has to be whatever, however you best want to describe, mind-blowing to realize that you and so many others who've had this outward focus for years now have to turn some of your attention inward.
So true. I think back often to a speech I made in December 2012 in the Great Rift Valley of Kenya to a couple hundred people from Kenya, Rwanda, and Uganda. They'd asked me to come and speak on our history of the peaceful transfer of power. They were coming up an election in Kenya, a relatively new democratic process. The prior election had led 100,000 people displaced. There was people warring after the election results. And I made a speech about our history from George Washington stepping aside after two terms, right up through the election of President Obama, when President Bush, welcomed him to the White House, wished him well, said he was there to help him. And my speech, I was very proud of and was quite well received, looks so dated now. But it reminds me that other countries, emerging countries, not just post-conflict countries, look to us and are surprised when our process is under attack, our electoral process, our judicial process, but we still have so much to share that can help them.
And the fact of the matter is that here in the United States, it's not as if prior to Trump, we didn't have issues. We had a disputed election in 1800. We had a highly controversial election in 1876. Of course, 2000, Bush v. Gore. But this most recent one was the one that quite physically could have prevented the peaceful transfer of power. And it now has a legacy. And Keep Our Republic has been talking about a report from the U.S. Marshals Service. And the U.S. Marshals Service provides security for federal court facilities, you know, judges, federal prisoners, you know, what else do we have here? Assuring the safety of endangered government witnesses and so forth. And they've put out this report on the growing number of threats to the judiciary. What can you say, or what's your own impressions of what the U.S. Marshals Service is trying to tell people about?
It's quite remarkable. The numbers from 2023, triple digit increase. I think I'm looking at my notes, 457 judicial threats, 155 prosecutorial threats. But what people need to remember, those are only federal judges and federal prosecutors, assistant U.S. attorneys like me. Very small portion of the judges and prosecutors in this country are protected by the U.S. Marshal. To compare it, in Wisconsin alone, in 2023, there were about 150 Wisconsin judges threatened. So we know that back in June of 22, Judge Romer, retired judge in Juneau County, was murdered by a person he'd previously sentenced. So those numbers we saw national news are just a small portion. And what we see in Wisconsin really is almost the same numbers in terms of judicial threats. And as I said, I see it as part of a broader problem of attacks and distrust of institutions and processes. As we said, and if you said, Keep Our Republic is focused on the attacks and distrust of our electoral process, not trusting the 1900 local clerks, your friends, your neighbors, who every year, every election, count the vote safely and honestly. And this part of it, the Marshall's Report, shows us just another side of that same problem, which is people distrusting the legal process. Just to go on a little bit, it used to be, in my experience, people would be charged with a crime and they'd say, you know, hey, I'm going to have my day in court. I'm going to cross-examine witnesses. I'll have my lawyer. You'll hear my evidence. And then they would proceed to court and they would present their evidence. But now, and unfortunately, Mr. Trump is a prime leader of this. Now, instead of I'll have my day in court, it's raging attacks against the judge. It's raging attacks against the prosecutor, the jury, and lawyers trying their case on the courthouse steps, not questioning witnesses and presenting evidence. That's our process. But instead going out on the front steps and saying, you know, the jury's against us and the judge is not fair. Those words, those threatening words, lead to actions. And that's the attack on the rule of law.
Exactly. And it is, to some degree, a media creation that, again, it, you know, prior to the age we live in now, you did not have, you know, 100 cameras at the courthouse steps. I mean, sure, you can go way back to, you know, the Lindbergh baby kidnapping and whatnot. There have been sensational trials. But as far as the entire environment that's out there with so many media choices and some of those media choices knowingly spreading, you know, misinformation and engaging in advocacy to a degree that, yeah, if democracy is supposed to rely on election losers respecting the process, the same has to be said of our judicial system only works when people have their day in court. And once that day in court is decided, they accept the judgment. It's by embracing violence that we become like the countries we are trying to help out. And yeah, we're trying to help them go forward. We're sliding right backwards.
It's really true. The problem has to do with those words to me, rule of law. We are a country that is basically founded on that principle. And when you attack the electoral process, when you attack people who are poll watchers and people who run the polls, when you threaten judges and threaten prosecutors, you undercut the rule of law. And summarizing most briefly, the rule of law means decisions are made on facts. Prosecutors don't make decisions based on who you know, what you own, how much power you have. As I used to say, we will follow the facts where they go, and we'll make our decisions without fear of anyone, without favor to anyone. And it's hard to do that if you're a judge or a prosecutor being threatened or fear you'll be threatened. Then that's the most fundamental undercutting of our rule of law in our democracy.
Is Keep Our Republic looking for any particular type of action, or is this rooted more in awareness of the issue and how people react in the future when it comes to court cases and election results?
I think it's the latter. Keep Our Republic's mission is to help people understand the electoral process, how the votes are counted, how the votes are, we want the votes counted. We want them, everybody to vote. We want the votes counted and we want those votes certified. So what our mission has been is to help people understand this process. You know, we're not voting online. People can't hack the election. All the votes in Wisconsin are there to be counted as paper ballots. There are 1,900 clerks in county and town and municipal all over the state who run this process. So what we want people to do, both in the legal side of this, the criminal law process, let's say, and the civil law process, and the election process is to understand and respect. You aren't always going to win. In any court case, somebody will feel like they've lost. In an election, obviously, somebody wins and somebody loses. But it is a respect for the process that we hope to encourage. So you say to yourself, well, we didn't win that election. In 2 years or 4 years, it's our turn. We'll try again.
Which, by the way, is what we saw in 2000 by people who were extremely upset about the outcome of Bush v. Gore. But again, there wasn't the level of violence. If anything, there was some violence by, you know, some Bush supporters in Florida during the recounts. And again, in 2016, our nation did not, you know, completely disintegrate into violence. But now there is that concern that Keep Our Republic, as they talk about this, they talk about the expectation that election-related litigation will again be front and center. And so the group writes, the need for a robust community response has never been more critical. And I think that's all we're really saying here, John, to wrap things up, is by robust community response, we just mean we need people looking at these bad apples and saying, no, we're not going that way.
Be smart enough to understand the election process and then trust and respect the process. As I said, in Kenya, we have been a peaceful transition to power since George Washington wrote his letter saying, I will not stand for election. I believe George III said, if he does not continue to seek power, he will be the greatest man on earth. And that's what has happened. Watch Al Gore's concession speech in 2000, where he said, I disagree with the Supreme Court, but I respect that decision and I will do all I can to support President Bush. The video I showed in Kenya of President Bush II welcoming President Obama to the White House with President Clinton there and President Carter, his father, President Bush, we're here to help you. That's America.
That is, and that's what we need to stay with. John Vaudrey, former U.S. attorney, on behalf of Keep Our Republic. John, thank you so much. It was great to visit with you.
Thanks, Matt.
When we come back, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week. You're up north. Tomorrow on the program, Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg is slated to join us at 7:05, and then at 7:30, we will be talking to our friend Hans Breitenmoser about just a veritable truckload of announcements on economic development projects all across rural Wisconsin that have been announced, and you know where that assistance, where that investment in the rural economy is coming from. But now we welcome back to the program Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Haven't talked to him for a couple of weeks here between vacations and other guest scheduling, and we finally get back into the routine of three things you need to know to start the week on this Monday morning. Terry, how are you?
Pat, I'm great. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing peachy, Terry. Had a good weekend. How about you? I'm loving that sweater, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Look at this. Just so much fashion here. look, among the three things to know, I mean, one is that tomorrow is Super Tuesday, but I got to say, you know, it's definitely not like Super Tuesdays of the past. Mm. And by the way, I hasten to add Super Tuesdays of the future, because 4 years from now, assuming we can keep our republic, we're not going to have Donald Trump. We're not going to have Joe Biden on the ballot. Republicans and Democrats are going to have a whole new crop of potential leaders out there. And I'm saying Super Tuesday next year could be a huge deal. This year, not quite so much.
Yeah. Pretty anticlimactic, yeah. All the polls are showing Trump far ahead in all of those states today. 15 states vote tomorrow, I should say. More than a third, about 36% of Republican delegates will be chosen. But yeah, in a race where, you know, the front runner just keeps pulling away and other candidates have dropped out, it's just down to Trump and Nikki Haley, really, for all intents and purposes. And it shouldn't be much. The only question is, you know, how long does Nikki Haley hang in there? And do tomorrow's results have any bearing on that?
Yeah, because she did win the primary over the weekend in Washington, D.C. So she now has one win under her belt. But I think, again, this is such a weird year that Nikki Haley's not looking to win delegates through primaries. I mean, she's just kind of the last one standing in a whole separate thing called what Republican will be the front runner if something happens to Trump. you know, legally or for other reasons, you know, who's the person in waiting? And at the moment, she's kind of the lady in waiting in case, you know, the trap door opens for Trump in some way, shape, or form. So I don't know that you need a lot of money to do that. You just need to be on standby, it seems like.
Hey, I think so, too. And I think what keeps her going is that when in polls where she is head-to-head against Joe Biden, she actually does better than Donald Trump against Joe Biden. So I think, like you mentioned, if there is some unforeseen circumstance, maybe some legal issues that keep Donald Trump from claiming the nomination, she'll be right there.
Right. I mean, the funny things in normal times, whatever those used to be, you know, people would be like, well, if something happens to Trump, you know, his vice president, Mike Pence, would be next in line. And it definitely doesn't work that way when you've got a whole lot of people going hang Mike Pence, you know, on January 6th yeah. and otherwise.
Yeah.
The Biden administration, of course, does know that the it's going to be a close race, regardless of what people think about Trump. And so they continue to put a rather physical investment in the state of Wisconsin.
Right. We're getting two visits from the administration this week. First Lady Jill Biden was in Waukesha yesterday. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison the day after tomorrow. And for both of them, this is a multiple Wisconsin. They've been here many times in the recent past, and they look to be here many times yet. I mean, we haven't seen Donald Trump in Wisconsin yet, and I don't suspect we will until the nomination is wrapped up. Frankly, the April primary in Wisconsin is going to be much like Super Tuesday, just kind of a foregone conclusion. But that kind of gives the Biden White House the luxury of driving hard in those key swing states where the last polling, the morning consult poll last week, showed him behind seven states that Trump beats Biden in all of them at this point. That according to the Morning Consult poll from last week. But as you pointed out before, Pat, it's very early. The polling isn't an indication necessarily of how things are going to turn out, but it is an indication of where the campaigns need to put their priorities at this time and the messaging and location.
But the thing that I always feel like pointing out with these polls is that they're not binary. And I don't know which numbers are there, but by and large, a lot of them add up to like 88%, you know, and there's not going to be 12% voting for somebody else. Or even if it came to like 92%, it's not going to, if you give people saying it's going to be this or this, you know, those numbers are going to turn out a lot differently. And so I just keep reminding people that this is very much a snapshot at this particular moment. And then the third thing to keep in mind for starting the week, Terry, it was so windy yesterday and I was driving, you know, from Michigan through Chicago up through Wisconsin. And there were times I thought maybe I was seeing, you know, smoke from a grass fire, but it was actually just, you know, some of the fields were kicking up so much dirt already. And it just reminds me that with this spring weather, I mean, yeah, the warmth is nice, but I got a feeling we're going to be seeing more red flag warnings before long.
Scientists, yeah, exactly. Wildfire season starting earlier in Wisconsin than normal. A whole lot of things happening earlier than normal this year. Probably due more in this case to El Nino than climate change, but climate change is still a factor in all of this. But yeah, if you liked last winter, you're going to like this spring. Forecasters are saying this is going to be a warmer than normal spring this year because of all those factors that we just mentioned. Let's see. Anywhere from 5 to 12 degrees above average this spring. Oh,
wow. And I would mention, I mentioned in the last hour that Governor Evers and Senator Tammy Baldwin put out an updated press release saying that if you're a small business owner that's been affected by the lack of snow in Wisconsin this winter, that, you know, through the Small Business Administration, there is potentially some help available that, you know, you should know about and potentially apply for. And, you know, we talked last year a bit about whether there would be a drought and would you need drought relief. And this really is kind of an extension of that.
It really is. And the indications are is that maybe snowy winters in North America will be a thing of the past in the years to come. And so Northern Wisconsin in particular, really dependent. Ski hills everywhere in North America that depend on winter recreation. This may be a big economic sea change as well as in terms of health and climate, too.
Very much so. All right. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell with three things you need to know to start the week. And, of course, Civic Media updates all throughout the day here across the network. Terry, thanks so much. Have a great start of the week. Yeah. And, Greg, it's clear that my time as a lava monster last weekend is finally catching
what
up.
What is going on here, buddy?
I was growling all weekend at the kids in a good way. And the lava monster needs to go fill his coffee cup. So we're going to go do that, Greg. Have a great day. Reminder to everybody that Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. You can follow us on social media and follow get our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning.